following is a digital media production.
Yeah, this is In the Conversation. Vlad is still on the West Coast creating the next great sitcom. In the meantime, Ali has glasses.
Man.
And he sees the world in a whole new way.
A whole new way.
Tune in.
Time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, we are back. It is In the Conversation. This is Damian Lemon. Feeling good. You know, good to have y'all listening. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. And, shit.
Yeah.
As always, on my right-hand side, I got Vladimir Caballo is still on the West Coast. But you know what? On my left-hand side, I got...
Yeah. The voice of your choice. Ali Muhammad in the building.
Aw, shit.
Yeah, we here.
How's it going, man?
Aw, man, it's going good, man. Shit, out here in the world, doing the damn thing.
What you doing?
Working.
Oh, work?
I'm crying about this. I got hit with that title fee.
What you mean, I hit with the title fee?
You know, I was doing a 30-day trial on the Kanye album.
Listen.
Got caught out there. Forgot to cancel it. Saw that shit pop up on my statement, like, title? Oh, shit!
Another trial period casualty.
Casualty.
That's how they get you, the trial period. Because you think you got so much time. You like, man, I'm sure I'll cancel in time.
And ironically, ooh, they got me with the Money and Violence, because you know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, since I'm on it, I was watching the Money and Violence, which dropped a week before it dropped on YouTube.
Okay.
So I was checking that out, you know what I'm saying, and got caught up. Got caught out there. Bang. And now, you know what I'm saying, now I see title a whole different way. You know what I'm saying? After you done paid, it's like, hold up now.
Now they got to meet your expectations, criteria.
Like, listen, man, this shit can't be stalling and shit in the middle of the show.
All of this buffering, you know this what I'm is saying? Some bullshit.
And then y'all need to fix this shit. When I come back, I want to come back to the same spot I left. I don't want to have to start over and find my spot.
You got to do all of that?
Yeah, it ain't like Netflix, how you come back to your joint and it's in the same spot.
It's like a browser. Basically, yeah, you got to start the whole shit over.
You got to start the whole show over, or you got to find your spot. I'm like,
damn, man.
Y'all need to fix that $9.99 shit.
When it's all about money, that's what cats got demands.
You know what I'm saying?
Hit my pockets.
Hey, you done hit my pocket. I'm talking about the first minute they hit my pockets. I was like, oh, hold up. Shit.
Man. I got caught recently. I tried to do a one of them free credit checks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? This one was like a little $5. You get free credit checks. I think two different unions. One of these companies. I'm not going to shout the company out because they caught me. And it was supposed to be a little $5 situation. And from the door, I looked at my card and they hit me for $20 on the $5. So they got me for $15. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to kill two birds with one stone. That's going to be the whole reason when I make this cancellation call. I'm going to lead with that. Sure enough, I missed the cancellation period. They hit me with another $20. They done ran off on the plug twice.
Twice.
Motherfuckers. But, yeah, man, that's a tough gamble.
You done caught more. You just better off just paying for the damn credit report.
Basically. Ain't that some shit? Oh, man.
So that's what I've been working with this weekend.
How was Money and Violence?
They actually stepped it up, man. It's bugged out because it's slower than it used to be. It's not a whole lot of action going on in it. I'm on episode 5, and I don't think nobody got shot.
I saw that. I saw man Relly tweeted that a little while ago. Nobody been shot on Money and Violence.
Nobody got shot. They've been doing a lot of talking, a lot of philosophy and philosophizing and street rule. You know how Rafe be doing them, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know how he have his sayings and shit. They've been doing that a lot. They've been building out the characters more. But actually, it's becoming more interesting.
Really?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Now that you're getting to really know the characters a little better and, you know what I'm saying, going through the stories a little more, it's getting a little more interesting.
That's what's up.
fuck is going on?
Nah, son, you got some cashews over here. The whole cashews, not even the half cashews. We ain't good. We having cashews and shit, and I ain't want to be chewed on the mic. So, and this is a whole cashew. So you got to really chew a good like 32. So I'm really intermittent with my. Yeah, I hear you, but I ain't want to be on the mic with the super cashew chew.
Okay, I didn't know what you was doing over there.
Nah, man.
So yeah, it's a lot slower, but it's becoming more interesting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And now when they do make a plot twist, they're a little more more calculated in their plot twist and all that stuff. So it's not just a bunch of just, you know, things happening all the time. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not sure how that's playing across the board because, you know, episode 3, I was like, when they gonna shoot somebody or something?
At what point? You getting frustrated.
But then, episode 4, it started to kick in. They had the little sneak peeks and all that. But I don't think I'm a big fan of the, you know, week by week watching. You know what I'm saying?
You like to binge?
I like to just, you know what I'm saying, get it on out the way. So, you know what I'm saying?
Really?
All this, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Little plot twist at the end of the episode. You're like, oh.
That's true. Like, there's two different ways to receive it now. You could get the week by week. I guess that's the old school traditional way, week by week. And then it's the binge format. I'll be honest, I'm still a fan of the week by week.
No doubt.
I like the anticipation of something, you know, okay, I'm going to see what they do next week. It kind of makes it appointment viewing. Even if I don't watch it when it's supposed to be watched, maybe I'll still catch it on demand. But it's like, oh, right, let me, you know, for whatever reason, there's a little bit more desire to stick with that when it's week by week than the binge. Because the binge, I'm always like, I get to that shit. But then also, knowing 13 hours going in, sometimes, like, and then when I hear people say, oh, yeah, it don't really get good till about episode 6. So, you know, that's 6 hours of some bullshit. I'm less likely to engage in some 6 hours of exposition rather than, you know, week by week. But that's me.
See, I understand that. I understand that point of view. It's just, for me, like, you know what I'm saying, when it gets to that point, I just, you know, I'm so used to just clicking next episode.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's the only kind of watching I'm really doing nowadays.
Right.
I ain't really, you know what I'm saying, doing a whole lot of TV appointment viewing.
I could dig it.
You know what I'm saying? So it get to, I'm like my kids. Like, I don't think, like my daughter, I don't think she don't even understand the concept of appointment viewing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She like, where's the next episode? Where's, you know what I'm saying? Pull it up on the computer. Like,
on demand.
It's not on Netflix, baby.
What?
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like an outrage.
That shit ain't legitimate.
Like, you know, so I'm in that kind of mode, but you know. I'm sticking with it. I like what they're doing. It's, you know, the quality is definitely better. You know what I mean? It's still indie, you know what I mean? It's indie boogie, but it's a whole lot better than it was.
Okay.
You know, so I'm fucking with it. I watched the T.I. video on Tidal too.
What song is that? I think I seen
More
that.
About money.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
What you think?
I love T.I. Man, you know what I'm saying? So when he disappoint me, it's like, you know, he trying to do that new cadence and it ain't really working out too well for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's bugged out. His flow was bugged out. I know you don't like to talk about Tip.
Nah, I didn't, you know, look, man. Nah, I didn't even like that. I heard the record. I actually thought the record was all right, but it, you know, I don't know what it is, man. I don't know what it is. I feel like, I don't know, man. I can't call it no more. I still feel like that them going in and out of jail those couple times concurrently, like boom, boom, that shit fucked up a lot of his momentum. You know what I mean? It's been like a lot of cats that kind of, I don't want to say replaced him, but definitely stepped in that spotlight. So it's a little, he got to share that light with a lot of people. You know what I mean?
At this point, I don't even think it's about the light because, you know, them cats, you know, they have, the light has already shifted. It's like now his position in music is, okay, how do you gain footing, get momentum, and build that back up? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, cats are running around. Cats running around getting money, you know what I'm saying, doing shows, you know what I'm saying? It's a whole new method of rapping right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
T.I. still from the linear age of you make a verse about something. You
right,
know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, shit, you can make a line about something and the next line about something else. You
know yeah. What I
mean? So it's like a non-linear style of rap that has kind of taken the place of what cats was doing before.
So that's what you think of it?
I think him fitting into this nonlinear style is, he hasn't mastered it yet. He's kind of like, you got to strip yourself of your whole cadence. You talk about that cadence shit all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had to strip himself of his old cadence, of his own cadence.
Right.
And then replace it with something new. And yeah. What is it? You know what I'm saying? Do you invent it or do you do what the other cat's doing? And so right now, I think he's somewhere in between where he doing a little bit of his old way and then slipping to a little Young Thug-esque type of, you know what I'm saying, pattern. It's like, you're going to need some auto-tune right there, first of all. It don't really work, you know what I'm saying, the way you doing it.
Yeah. I think it's also, he's been around for so long, you kind of take it for granted a little bit. I even see that sometimes with Jeezy. Like, certain cats that's been around, they're so established, and even their flow is established back to that. But, like, you might take it for granted. Sometimes, because, like, with the record you said about him with Dro, if it ain't about the money, that shit catchy. That shit catchy and retro. Like, you know.
That's not new.
No, but it's new. It's you know.
That was still a little.
Like, 2 years ago, yeah, 3 years ago.
Might be 3 years ago.
It's been that long?
Yeah, that ain't about the money. It's been a while.
You know, ain't been no 3 years, Pop.
3 years?
Hey,
Chris, look up T.I. Ain't About the Money.
Yeah, we going to see. About 3 years feels a little excessive. That's 2000. Maybe 2013. Was that that was the Gun is the Heavy? Whatever. But, you know, it's like one of those times when it's tough. It's tough for a rapper. Like, you're in a whole nother. Once you go past 10 years in rap, it's kind of hard to stay relevant on a big level to where it's like it feels urgent. Go ahead.
2014.
Okay.
All right. Two years ago. All right. See.
Thanks. Still, a lot of cats still came through in 2 years.
But it was. I think he had a little flow on that. You know, whatever. I don't remember. Listen, yo.
It sound like Coltrane over there.
That's how I remember lyrics now. I just remember the melody. I don't. Right. But you haven't been to rapper court in a minute. Remember back, like when I was in high school and college, we get into like rapper arguments. Who was doper than who? And then when you go to rapper court, you better have your bars on deck. You're like, hold on, son. You trying to tell me your man who said is fucking with my man that was saying is you crazy? Like, you know, that was your evidence. Now, I can't remember none of this shit. I know the hook now. I'm that nigga now.
Right.
Okay, what hook is this? Okay, I know this song.
Yeah, no doubt. You the OG.
My OG.
You know what I mean?
It's interesting, though. Like, okay. I mean, Jay has a certain level of urgency that he builds, but he steps away for like at least 2-3 years, damn near, to let that shit kind of die down, build back up, like, until people start asking about you.
But yeah, but Jay still is he's an event, you know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. Like, he
what was his last joint?
Magna Carta.
Magna Carta. What was the joint on there?
I don't know.
It don't never be a joint. It be the album. It dropped.
He had a record on. He had a couple records on here. Picasso. Well, not Picasso, baby.
Mm-hmm.
What was the big one? He had a big joint on there. That's fuck with me. You know I got it. Was right. All right,
yeah,
off of there.
Me, you know I got it.
That shit was popping with Rick on there. He had
but that
he
shit,
did Holy Grail with Justin Timberlake, which was like popular hit.
Yeah, that but there was a record on there.
That's exactly what it is. They are popular hits. You know what I'm saying? It ain't like those.
Like a Give It to Me?
I mean, you know.
Like what you
but
mean?
But Give It to
like,
Me lasted though. Give It to Me was when he was the culture. He was the culture at that time. So it lasted. It rolled through. You could still play, you know what I'm saying, some of them joints.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like now he's an event. And he makes these big, big records, and then more like pop.
He's a legacy act.
Right. It's like more like pop than it is the current, you know what I mean? The current joint.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like Gotti is like, he might have the current joint, even, you know what I'm saying? And Jay gonna come with the overarching, you know, big record.
Uh huh.
You know what I'm saying? Which is, it's a difference. But, you know what I'm saying? Shouts to Jay for even being able to stay in that conversation.
Yeah.
These years later, you know what I'm saying? He, like, you know what I mean? He working on being the best that ever done it like that for that long.
Yeah. You know that's my point. Like, it's tough to stay 10 plus years in to stay relevant to where people are thirsty for you to. I mean, it's tough. The thirst, especially in hip hop.
The thirst dies away, but being able to still come through and bust that bitch down.
Who else got that?
I don't know if anybody else got it right now. Snoop had it for a long time. He had it for a long time. Whenever he came back out, he came with a big record. All the way up to I Wanna Rock. That was his last one. Yeah. That was like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then he kind of leveled out.
And he had a little bit off of that that last album. Little that Charlie Wilson kind of
right.
Little bit of more like a funk vibe type
right. He had that, but I'm saying last time he came through
where
with
it was
the drum,
like a big,
you know what I'm saying? Because he always had, even if the album didn't do much, he always came through with that joint.
Yeah.
Like, and I Wanna Rock, I think, was the last one of those. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, Beautiful. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He,
mm-hmm.
The one with Pharrell. Dun, 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 dun. See? Because, you know what I'm saying? When the pimps in the high, them dropping like it's hot. You know what I'm saying? So he stayed good for a minute.
What about Eminem?
I mean, you know, I guess. You know, hey, I'm just not the biggest, you know what I'm saying?
I'm not a big Eminem fan like
I'm
that.
I'm not an Eminem listener.
Even though.
I'm a fan of what he did, but I'm not an Eminem listener.
Even though last week I said to the people, I said, we made that call out to find out what they thought was the greatest feature on a rap record. And it was more than a few people that said Eminem on Renegade.
No doubt.
Which is always closely, it's always referenced by, you know, it's been referenced since Nas.
Mm-hmm.
And it started the whole he murdered you on your own shit conversation.
Right.
And I went back, because as I'm a diehard Jay-Z fan, so even in that moment I was like, nah, fam, if you listen to what Jay said, I went back and I listened to that fucking Eminem verse. First of all, he produced that record, but the pockets that he finds in there, like, it just, technically, he's one of the illest. When it comes to technicality,
exactly.
Like, that shit is like, oh, it's a marvel. It don't always hit me soul-wise, because again, some of his shit got too much, like, white angst, and he's wanting to kill his moms and his baby mom. You know what I mean? It's a little much. But when he, like, went on that Renegade, that shit is like a clinic on, like, he created his own little pocket, that shit. And then he was flipping it with the little, like, he swagged it out a little bit on that. Right. He absolutely stole the show from Hov on that.
And then the other one that somebody called out on Snapchat that I had to go back, that would have been my choice.
Go ahead.
But, you know what I'm saying, lyrically, technically, it wasn't the technical verse. But soul wise, that Pimp C on Big Pimpin',
okay,
he stole the show on that shit. And the legend is Jay had to go back and do his verse over on that.
I think I heard that. Mm-hmm. I gotta listen to Pimp C's verse again.
Big Pimpin' rolled out on that shit. You know how
smoking loud, pouring up.
Okay,
right.
He rolled that shit out, man.
That shit was such a different record, man. I remember I was in Atlanta. I was in college. I was going to pick somebody up, and I had the. This is when the bootleg came out. You know, when you get the bootleg, that shit rocked for like 2 weeks. Nigga got the bootleg. Driving around in the bootleg. And that beat just sounds so quack, like so weird, like so different. Driving around the airport, waiting to pick somebody. And I'm waiting for mad long, so I'm just circling the whole fucking airport like at least 6 times, just listening to that record over and over. And that shit was so interesting that I didn't mind going around just, you know, that's a hell of a fucking record. That was a whole different look altogether.
And yeah, and because, you know, the different vibe that Timbaland brought. It's just that Pimp C, his cadence, his style fitted.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then Jay-Z was trying to retrofit his style into it.
Mm.
And, you know, he just rolled out with that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I forgot about that one. So,
yeah, I
throw that one back on the table.
I forget. Some other people threw some interesting ones out. Oh, Nicki Minaj on Monster. That's absolutely one. I can't even really, nobody else's verse. You don't even want to hear nobody else's verse again after what she did.
But whose
song
was that?
That was on Kanye's record.
That was Kanye's record?
Yeah, it was Monster.
That was her record.
Nah, that's exactly what it felt like.
I thought that was her record.
That was Kanye. That was when Kanye was starting to, like, that was off of My Twisted Dark Fantasy, right? And that was where he started kind of, not started, but really started stepping in that role of more of a composer than the rapper. You know what I mean? Not to say that he don't rap, but he was putting shit together. Like, all right, you come in here, you come in. To the point to where you don't even know whose record that was.
Right.
Yeah, she came in, that shit destroyed it, though.
Yeah, she did destroy that shit. Anyway. But I thought that was her record. So yeah. That was, you know what I'm saying?
There she goes. She did a thing.
No doubt.
Oh, man.
Shout out to Nicki Minaj.
All right. Ah.
What's good with you?
Man, I'm chilling, B. I'm realizing this is the time of year everybody turns into a political pundit. You know, everybody got their views on everybody. Now everybody's informed. You know, they know so much about the political process
and arena.
Yeah, and this is the time where your Facebook friends get a little stupid. You find out who gonna jump out the window and go overboard. You know,
you had something jump out there.
I had a cat. I know this cat. One of them, it's like a friend of mine from high school.
Oh yeah, they always beat up.
Yeah, and I guess he's like on the Republican side of things. You know what I'm saying? Like aggressively Republican too, like, you know. But I bet, you know, one of these motherfuckers that like to say shit like hypocrisy and like all caps and shit. Like I give a fuck. You know what I mean? It's no shots to that, but I don't get that wound up over this shit. You know what I'm saying? It's great entertainment. Sometimes it could be a little conservative where you see Donald Trump rallies just looking like, I mean, them shits is looking like ECW events, you know.
The fuck is that?
Extreme Championship Wrestling. Oh. I think that's what it's called. Like outdoor wrestling with niggas is fighting over barbed wire and hitting you in the head, man, with folded chairs and shit. But,
yeah, the Trump shit is going crazy, man.
You gotta really, like, you gotta look at it and say, you know, for a while, I wasn't even trying to say his name. I wasn't even acknowledging it. Feeling like if I gave it just a little too much energy, you're giving it too much energy to go further than it was, I felt like it was gonna, you know, stall out. Like, many people felt like this shit ain't gonna go this far. Mm-hmm. Now this shit is something to be all the way reckoned with.
Right.
Now this shit could fucking happen. And it's a little concerning. You know what I mean? What do you think? You think Trump got a shot?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how this shit really worked. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he'll win. I think Donald Trump is this election cycle's version of the Tea Party. Except they, like, instead of spreading this shit out over three or four motherfuckers,
concentrated
into one motherfucker, he take the message out. What happened to the Tea Party?
They now Trump Party.
You know what I'm saying?
T-R-U-M-P.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the Tea Party was the main ralliers of this type of information the last election cycle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When Obama was first running and then maybe a little bit on the last election. And then, so all of a sudden, they just disappeared?
They're there. They just, you know, they've been stewing.
Where the Tea Party?
See, the thing is, this is when people get loud because they think they got a shot at their the people coming in. Yeah, they got a shot at the crown. Their people coming into, you know, prominence. So you like, fuck that. I got to make my noise because this is the fucking time. I mean, this shit feel, you can feel it. Motherfuckers want this shit. Like, you see that shit. It's intense.
They bold, man.
Chris, what you think?
I was just going to say, you know, you're asking where the Tea Party is. The interesting thing is somebody like Ted Cruz is a Tea Party guy. Mm-hmm. It's like the Tea Party made a lot of noise, and then they actually got people elected, and they got into government. So they're kind of backing people like Cruz. The weird thing about it is people are supporting Trump, obviously, over Cruz in a lot of ways for similar reasons. But, right, you know, he's like the new guy.
He's the new Tea Party guy.
Oh, well.
Interesting.
The Tea Party is like the beehive for
it's definitely
disenfranchised.
The Tea Party. And the tea is for Trump.
Yeah. I was listening to somebody.
The beehive for disenfranchised white people.
It's a Tea Party. We struggling too, motherfucker. All matter.
Oh, man. The tea hive and shit.
Niggas want their struggle to rank supreme. don't try to outstruggle me, because if they give out any awards or rewards for this struggle, I need to be number one on your list. Shit, don't forget about me. Anyway, man, speaking of...
And you forget about that, though. You forget that it's actually disenfranchised white people.
That's what it comes down to, is everybody's motherfuckers fucked up.
You know what I'm saying? Like you don't really see that in the media too often, but...
Nah.
It's like, there are, you know, some disenfranchised white people doing bad, going to jail and shit, yeah. Beating their wives, just like everybody else.
Fucked up, living fucked up. Living like, fucked damn. Up. Ah, shit.
But you don't never hear about that shit.
And then they can't stand to hear about white privilege. If right. You fucked up and you white and you talk about white privilege, where the fuck is that? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I guess so.
Man, I mean, that goes all the way back. I got this book at the house. It's a slave narrative book. It's called The Bullwhip Days.
Damn.
And they talk about that shit. They talk about how when you on the plantation and then you get a little pass to go off the plantation, the worst motherfucker you want to run into is a white person who ain't got nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like say their plantation might be adjacent to another farmer's plantation who ain't doing that good.
Mm-hmm. Can't afford slaves.
He mad at the dude who owned the land next to him, but he especially mad at your ass because you live over there with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Even though you're a slave, he motherfucking mad as fuck.
Because you represent him.
Because you represent, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, you know, that's the last person you want to run into. And those people became the, basically the police who, you know what I'm saying, patrolled, they call them patrollers, who patrol, you know, the streets and check to see if you got your pass to be off the plantation and shit. So.
Miserable ass motherfuckers.
The disenfranchised is always mad, man.
Yeah, man. And oftentimes easily exploited. Wow. Don't be mad at me, be mad at him. You know what I mean? I got enough money to make you mad at that motherfucker. You shouldn't be mad at me, but anyway.
This is Sherrod Small
and Kurt Metzger
of the Race Wars Podcast. Check out our podcast
to hear the very first interracial friends in history.
Right. That's right.
That's right. We are the first.
We are.
The first real interracial friends talking about race openly and without fear. And there ain't nothing like it anywhere.
That's
you're
right.
Cheating yourself if you're not listening.
You can find new and archived episodes of Race Wars on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and TuneIn.
Yeah.
So check it out.
So, here you going through a new...
Why you want to call my shit out?
I was saying, I ain't going to call it out. I see it as something that we here to discuss. You put it on here.
They see, don't know what I put on there.
Oh, man. Look, I mean, if you don't want to talk about it, if you want to tell the people what's going on.
Nah.
Here you in a new stage of life.
Yeah, man, I'm going blind, man.
Ah, shit.
My eyesight going bad, man.
You might be being extreme.
Yeah, I'm extreme in it, but shit, that's what it is when you used to, you know, having good vision all your life.
Oh, man.
And all of a sudden, you don't.
What's the worst?
You got to hold your damn phone like at arm's length to see that shit. Some bad shit.
It's a whole new identity.
It changed the whole situation because, you know, I was looking for frames and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So... then you realize that, you know what I'm saying, this shit gonna be on your face every day. That's like changed the motherfucker who you is. Like, you know, you used to putting yourself together a certain way.
Yeah.
Going out.
Right.
And that's what it is.
Right.
Now, you add this to the equation, that's some new shit.
Yeah, that's a whole new thing.
And then you gotta put these, you know, joints on your face every day and go out and, you know what I mean, see what it do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I took a long time just to try to figure out, you know what I'm saying, the type of look that I was gonna go with the frame and shit. So, you know, I went Saturday and picked some new frames up. I chose two.
Okay.
I bought two so I could kind of, you know what I'm saying, weigh the difference. And, you know what I'm saying, maybe have a pair for different occasions and shit like that. So, one, I went with my big director frames.
That's what you got on now?
That's what I got on now, my big director frames.
Like a little bit of, but we got to do something on the snap.
Like some Scorsese.
A little sleepy brown.
Well, you know what I'm saying? This lens is going to change. It's not going to have this color tint.
Okay.
So it's going to change a little bit.
Bono action.
Yeah, I ain't going to have
okay. This nigga like he a philanthropic ass.
Yeah. That's frames. That's what you want to get. That's what you want to have out
what's
there.
What's the other?
The other one is, you know what I'm saying, you know, your corporate look. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You're more, you know,
That's more of a thin down. Frame.
Well, it's not necessarily thin, but they, you know,
a little straight ahead.
They're a little more reserved.
Okay.
Than these joints.
Okay. Oh, you about to see the other frame. No, I mean, Chris, you wear glasses?
No, I don't wear glasses.
Like how you said that. Hell no. I'm sighted.
Motherfucker.
I don't wear glasses. I'm young.
I don't wear glasses.
I think it might. Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying? So these joints right here is a corporate. You know,
a black intelligentsia.
You know what I mean? Let's switch it up on.
It looked like a smart ass.
Smart motherfucker. That's what I wanted. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so, shit.
Okay, one creative one and one smart one.
Holy vice ass. You know what I mean? So what should I do? Frames. Yeah. Oh shit!
So you know what I'm saying? I took a while to kind of figure out what it was.
Put those up on the snap or on the Facebook.
I'm gonna put
page.
It up on the Facebook. I think my snap people might have seen my direct.
Let them see what's popping, man.
But yeah, man. So you know, it's weird now because you know I'm trying them out, walking in the street with them, and you know what I'm saying, looking at the different responses and shit that people give you because you know it's definitely different. You know what I'm saying? Than you know walking down. I've been no glasses my whole life.
Right.
So to walk down the street with glasses and then just to analyze the looks you get.
Yeah, what you get and what's the, you see yourself getting any kinship with the bespectacled?
See, I haven't rocked the smart ones out yet.
So why? You don't think the director ones, so what you think? You feel you got higher hopes for the smart ones than you do
no,
for
I've
the
been,
director
I've frame? Been rocking the director frames because I feel more comfortable and they actually feel more comfortable
okay.
on my face.
Okay.
So I just been rocking them a little more than these. And with those, you definitely get a whole different look. You know what I'm saying? You get a longer, you know what I'm saying? People just look at you longer trying to figure it out. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Because those also look like shades too. So you never know. You know, those are like almost... You're not all the way committed to the glasses. Like these look like you kinda just visited. Those look wild casual. Those look like you could the smart joints look like you really wear glasses. These right here look like you might be in a band or some shit. It's interesting. Do you trust the motherfucker with more than one pair of glasses? I don't know.
Yeah, because what you're trying to say.
I'm just saying it's two different you know what I mean?
I trust Ali, sure.
Okay, cool. But it's like, what kind of glasses he had on when he said that to you? Shit.
I think he had on them big shits.
Well, he was serious then. Listen. Imagine that. You got your shit talking glasses. Oh, well, you can't believe when he got them glasses on, he be talking shit.
And it's funny because I'm a new Jay, so I don't have no frame of reference.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, okay, I get these over here and I get these over here. Then you realize these shits expensive as a motherfucker.
Glasses are expensive.
These shits ain't cheap.
Yeah. What's expensive, man?
I mean, shit, nigga, that's fucking $300 something. Uh-huh. Goddamn.
That's just for the frame?
Nah, the frame was like two something. Uh-huh. And, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I got to go get a, you know what I'm saying?
The lenses.
Rury out the lenses for another $100.
How long
something,
it take
something.
To do that shit? I thought it was supposed to take just a day. It takes a while?
Well, I haven't ordered them yet. I haven't fully.
Okay,
I was still in my trial phase.
Okay,
trying to commit, trying to figure
out.
What
happened last
saying?
Time? Don't fuck around. Nigga had some title glasses on.
Nah. I got my appointment tomorrow.
31-day-ass glasses.
My appointment tomorrow to go figure that shit out, man.
Oh shit, man.
But you know that shit ain't cheap, so. You know, I thought I could, you know, get a you know different look for this, look for that. You'd be like, nah, you gotta commit for real.
Yeah. I mean, it's expensive. I mean, you could do it. But then it's like every time they see you, a whole different buffer. I think there's got to be some consistency in glasses. Maybe two.
Yeah, I don't know.
Got to ask our bespectacled listeners. Do us a favor. Do us a two things. One, if you listen to In the Conversation, send us a photo, preferably a video, of you listening to In the Conversation, where you listen to it, man. I want to see that. Snap it, IG it, tweet it, you know what I mean? Shout out to my man, Jared Freed from the J-Train Podcast. I definitely caught that idea from that man. Also, if you are bespectacled, let us know if there's any glasses etiquette that Muhammad should know walking into this new phase of life. Do you trust a man with more than one pair of glasses? Let us know. And
But you know what I'm saying? And shout out to the people who always shoot themselves watching, listening to In the Conversation. Absolutely. On the Snapchat. Because it's cats that's on there that's been doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Doing real work. You working real fucking jobs.
Going to work, coming from work. You know what I'm saying? At work. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to everybody on the Snap that be checking in. My man in London that check in all the time on the Snap, you know, with the videos. So, you know, they do it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man, you know, I just wanted to make sure that I was covered. I don't know the etiquette.
Do you feel more mature?
Damn. I'm going to tell you what they be saying. You know what I'm saying? Truth be told.
Yeah, it sounds like a yes.
Truth be told.
Yeah, go ahead.
Truth be told. It feels like you got to do something different with your life, you know what I'm saying? When you looking through some glasses and shit, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
You got to take it serious.
You got not just you got to take it seriously, but something got to change. Like, you know what I'm saying? You a different motherfucker. It's like you almost a different person.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I'm saying? You wearing these glasses and shit, people looking at you differently, you might have to do something differently.
Well, do you feel a calling? You have a glasses calling now? Like, oh shit, I got to save the environment.
I don't have a glasses calling, but I feel like something got to change. I can't, you know what I'm saying? Without glasses, I just felt like I was just, you know what I'm saying, free. You know what I mean? You're just free. You float through this shit. You know what I'm saying? It's me. You know what I'm saying? Glasses put your ass in a perspective. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, when you put it on, it gives you a certain look that you're going to have every time you put them bitches on.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? With me using my eyes to work, I'm going to have to put these bitches on a lot.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So, therefore, you become, you know what I'm saying, that thing.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's a whole new identity.
I don't know, man.
It's interesting. I guess there's more expectation when people got glasses on. You don't really... It takes a lot to look stupid in glasses. Unless they got the fucking the shit that you pull to keep them on your face, if they got the strap, then they undermine your whole swag. But if you got a pair of glasses on, I think you're at least a rational human being. You know what I mean?
And then a motherfucker less likely to punch you in the face. Huh?
Oh yeah. I was watching the Uber. Some cat was trying to. I was watching some shit on Worldstar. And there was
as you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I still jump on Worldstar every so often. Not as much as I used to, but I still the appreciation's still there. I just don't loiter there like I used to. But
we don't talk about that. Go ahead, dog. Go ahead. What you saying?
But yeah, we gonna talk about. All right, but there was a video of a cat. I guess he was trying to hustle via Uber, or at least he was trying to meet up with a drug dealer and get some shit. So the Uber driver wasn't fucking with that. He was like, "Yo, I saw that." Said, that wasn't keys, that was drugs, get out my car. So the cats is like, you know, it was four dudes in there. No, three dudes in there. Two of the three get out the car. The other cat that made the transaction look like, he was like, nah, I'm not going nowhere. But I thought he was just like, I'm not going there on some just fuck that. You know, I'm just going, you didn't see what you saw. I'm challenging what you're saying right here. He was more so like, hold on, dude, you need to cancel that charge. I'm not going to get kicked out of Uber and charged for the same Uber I got kicked out of. I need you to go ahead and go through that and then make sure that charge don't go through to my card or we're going to have a problem. So then that's when he took it to, you know, the or we're going to have a problem. We've all talked about the or we're going to have a problem moment in the confrontation, right?
Right.
So the Uber driver, now he was chilling. He was very reserved. He didn't seem meek, you know what I mean? But he wasn't, like, on the aggressive. He's just very firm. Like, listen, I'm not going to tolerate that.
Right.
My man hit it with the, oh, we're going to have a problem shit. And now the dude was wearing glasses, the Uber driver. The Uber driver took his glasses off. It was like, and that's to let you know shit's about to go left. If I got to take these fucking glasses off, it's the clearest indication.
That's a girl taking the earrings off.
Yeah, he took his glasses off, got up out that shit. Like, I need you to, and then it cut off right there. So we don't know what happened afterward, if there was an ass whipping, but it was definitely the trailer before the ass whipping.
Yeah, because, you know, you got to take them glasses off. Them shit's expensive.
Yeah.
I can see that right now.
Yeah.
I be taking these bitches off and put them all the way in the case. Like, you know what I'm saying? They going, you know what I mean?
I remember seeing a couple people get beat up with glasses on. It's even worse. It's glasses, and then I was looking at the video of that one girl getting pushed at the Trump rally. and was fucked up anyway, right. But then she had a book bag on too. Right. And when you get shoved out there with a book bag on, it just looks even worse. You know what I mean? Glasses in the book bag is just, it just looks too burdensome.
That's pitiful.
Exactly. Oh, stop it. Come on.
Pitiful.
Have a heart. Anyway, man.
I don't want to be on the side of pitiful.
Nah, nobody want that, man. Nobody want that shit, man.
No, you could use the, you know, I don't think you're thinking about it. You can use the glasses to your advantage in a meeting or something when you really want to make a point.
Right.
Take the glass off, fold them up, put them on the table, then make your point. You know, it seems like this is really coming from me.
Drama.
Yeah.
See, that's thinking right there.
Look at this.
Look at that. That's drama. that's some shit straight out the movies.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, those glasses.
Make a point.
Oh shit.
Oh, it's gonna be a problem.
Fuck you taking your glasses off for? No, I'm thinking. Oh, all right. I got nervous. Had a moment in an Uber years ago.
Yeah, no.
So Diddy's on the Snapchat, I hear.
Yeah, Diddy is on the Snap. I think Khaled talked him into it.
Diddy seemed like he'd be good for Snapchat, though.
That's what I thought.
If Khaled would be good. Yeah.
I thought Diddy would be, you know what I'm saying, King Snap Chatter.
Okay. Yeah.
But for the first time in ever, I think Diddy, you know what I'm saying, he was talking to Khaled, you know, and then somebody else does the snaps, right?
Uh-huh.
So he was on there where he was talking, he was saying that, yo, I'm the first celeb to have a professional snapper snap my snaps, which, you know what I'm saying, defeats the whole purpose of the snap.
Okay. Because now that's...
You're just shooting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but later in that sequence of snaps, which is up right now, he admitted to Khaled, he was like, I don't understand it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Like, maybe me and you should start something that we understand.
Basically, you teach me.
No, I'm saying he talking about let's build an app that we understand, and which is, you know what I'm saying, like Diddy always prides himself on being ahead of the curve. And,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying, and you know it's weird, like when you first start Snap, yeah, the, you know, ain't no thing telling you what to do. It's just icons, so you had to kind of figure it out.
Right.
So you know it just take a little time to deal with it, but it was funny that Diddy himself was saying I don't understand this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, which. You know, like I said, Diddy is the original millennial. You know what I'm saying? Like, all this stuff what the millennials do, Diddy was doing that shit back in Generation X.
What do you mean? Give me an example.
Just the entitlement. You know what I'm saying? Diddy been entitled since he came in the game. You know
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Just the whole, you know what I'm saying? We work, we don't sleep. You know what I'm saying? Bringing the youthful. Diddy was the reason companies wanted to bring the youthful energy, and every company had to have
exuberance.
Yeah, every entertainment company, I should say, needed to have the youthful energy because of what Puffy was doing at Uptown. You know what I'm saying? So he was just doing it his way. He was doing it like, this is what the youth do. This is how we gonna do it. You know what I'm saying? At the time, most of the people who worked at the record labels were... They were from, like, the jazz era, so they were a little older, you know what I'm saying? They were more suits and buttoned down,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they let this, you know, 19-year-old kid run the damn A&R department, and it's like, and he had success.
Yeah.
So every other company was like, hey, maybe we need some of that youthful energy in there, which made way for, shit, people like us to go get jobs and make decent money and have a corporate card and travel around and run around and fly hotels just off of the floss factor.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because your company couldn't be seen, you know what I'm saying, at the fucked up hotel. You had to be in the place where the people was at.
The fly shit.
Yeah, the fly shit. You know what I'm saying? That's all Puffy shit, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, him just doing him as a, you know, in his own way. And that's kind of like what the millennials do. They kind of, like, they coming into these businesses like, this is how we do, and they bringing the youthful energy now.
That young energy, because it's also, you have nothing to lose when you young. You trying to establish yourself. You trying to come up. So it's nothing that you risking.
Right.
The only risk you taking is not taking the shot.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? So you got to go for yours to where, if you're the person that's 50 years old, accomplished, got a house, kids in some expensive-ass school somewhere, You got a summer home, bunch of shit to maintain. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's when they start calling you a company man. Mm-hmm. When they're like, "Hey, I hear the wife's expecting again. What's that number four?" Now you got four reasons why you need to be safe and careful and be, you know what I mean, cautious. You know what I'm saying? And a young motherfucker that just fresh out, he like, well, I'm about to shake this whole shit up because I need to pop off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to be that meeting.
No
you
doubt.
Know, it's an interesting, I can see both sides of it, mm-hmm. you know. You never want to play scared, though.
Right.
But
shit, let it be known, man. I got 3 kids. I got a whole lot of shit, you know what I'm saying, schools and house and all kind of shit that need to be paid for. But I still want to pop off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be right there with you. You know what I'm saying? Popping off as, you know, if you do your thing, I'm going to do mine, but we're going
to
be here.
We're going to have to win.
You know what I'm saying? We're going to be here.
I'm standing in the winner's circle.
I'm on my motherfucking square.
Yeah. I guess Snapchat is interesting, too, because it's one of those things. Like, Instagram, you could curate it.
Right.
Twitter is just—it's really just words, and shit like that. And you could proofread it. Snapchat, you got a second to look at it, but it's very of the moment, in the moment, and it's very visual. So it's a difference between that ain't really how you know you read. You must have read it wrong too. Damn, nigga, you out here looking crazy. You know what I mean? Like, this is one thing to read an awkward statement. It's another thing to look at an awkward statement. You're like, yo, what the fuck is this cat doing on here? So I can see a lot of hesitancy. You can't give a fuck with that Snapchat shit.
Right.
That's why they tell you 24 hours, we'll get rid of it. Don't worry.
Yeah, it'll be gone. Eh. And it's just there. It's like, you know, and people, and I think people's expectations of it, it's kind of like where it's free-flowing, you know what I'm saying? People don't expect you to curate the shit too tough. You know what I'm saying? People don't expect it to be some well-crafted, thought-out, you know what I'm saying, situation. When it is, and when it hits, and when it's funny, and when it's, you know what I'm saying, it all works. But people don't expect all that shit. So people out here, you know what I'm saying, they expressing their points of views. And I think it's interesting in that, you know what I'm saying, you can go through your people who you follow and see all these different points of views from these different perspectives
right.
in these intimate environments, which, you know what I'm saying, which it forces you to be intimate because you have to have your hand on the motherfucking button.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know what I'm saying, you can't just press it and put it up somewhere.
Right.
You got to put your hand on the button and hold it until it's done.
Yeah.
So it keeps it real intimate. It's right here. It's in your face.
It's connected. That's deep.
You know what I'm saying? And another thing I found out about glasses is, that shit look.
He's selling. He's trying to get us to switch over.
No. This is not good.
Become a vegan.
No.
You know one thing about that meat that I seen. Very toxic.
No, this is not even on that level. Okay. This is on some. That shit look crazy when the camera all that close in your face.
I was just gonna say Vlad's gonna come back with glasses and everything.
All right, it's 2/3 of the conversation, but spectacle.
Nah, it's like
go ahead.
That shit look crazy when you got the camera all up in your face and shit. Like that shit ain't good for the selfie.
Oh, okay. Now the phone is reflected in the glasses.
Yeah, this is a tough look, dog.
But you could do it without your glasses, your selfie, right?
That's most definitely got high. It's got
to
go down.
Would you ever go contacts, or is that a little too intense?
That's too intense. I ain't going to be able to take care of them shits. I'm a type of dude, stay up all night, you know what I'm saying, until I fall out.
Okay.
So I'm going to be sleeping in my shits, be dried out. And I ain't fucking with that.
I got another question. This is where it gets even deeper. LASIK, would you ever fuck with that?
If this shit get too bad, you know what I'm saying? Right now, I'm going to fuck with these glasses and see what this do, man. I'm one step at a time, man.
Oh,
if this shit get too crazy, I'll fuck with the LASIKs.
I hear that shit.
But I ain't about to go under the motherfucking knife right now about something, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Oh, shit. What else is going on, man? What you got going?
My kids is a trip right now, man.
What's up with that?
Both of my sons, you know, starting on their little entrepreneurial path.
All right.
Right now.
That's what's up.
My youngest son, he the geek, so he be all into these, you know, geeked out ass products.
Geek is, you call him a geek. He wears that with pride. Is the geek, now, because I know geek and nerd and all of that shit becomes like, it's going from slander to kind of like, like we embrace it. Well, kink is an empowerment term.
Like we don't use that term in the house. I'm just using it just to explain who he is.
Okay, all right. So you call him a geek behind his back on the podcast.
On the podcast. Nah, he know. He know
what
it
glasses
is.
He got on. Let me see.
You know what I'm saying? He don't wear no glasses. He's smarter than a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? He represents just getting his, you know what I'm saying? He's smart. You know
getting
what I'm saying?
To
he getting to it. He don't play no games with it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He do his research.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He fucking kill the motherfucking grades.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Type of kid. You know what I'm saying?
That's dope.
We took him to the school that, you know what I'm saying, is for. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Those type of kids. You know,
smart.
This is the first time he been in an environment where all the kids there was like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he killing that shit, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Proud of him. He, you know, in the top 5% of his class, you know what I'm saying? So,
dope.
You know, that's not a slight at all.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know what I'm saying, when your kid do all his research, it has repercussions.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he's studying and looking at shit, and now he, you know what I'm saying, he done found, you know what I'm saying, a $4,000 hoverboard type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, who buying that? Ain't nobody getting that, you know. So he trying to figure out a way so he could make some money to buy a hoverboard,
a $4,000 hoverboard,
and a German Shepherd. Which I don't know where the German Shepherd gonna live.
You ain't no room for the German Shepherd.
Hey man, hey listen, that is a point of debate at this point.
So does this hoverboard really hover, or is it another one of these fake hoverboards
it's,
they got out there?
It's some Kickstarter campaign type of joint. Look it up, Chris. You know what I'm saying? I forget what it's called, but it's a $4,000 hoverboard that's in development.
Sound kind of cheap for a hoverboard that really hover though.
It's like,
I'm not in the market for
a
hoverboard.
I guess it's a little different than the hoverboards that they got now with the wheels. But
right.
But anyway.
So that's so what he's trying, so he what trying, he trying to do to
trying
make the money.
Figure it out. He trying to figure it out, you know what I'm saying? He want to do this, he want to do that. He is, you know, thinking of it. And then he made some cookies.
Uh-huh.
Basically the stunt on his class on the low. He ain't, you know what I'm saying, he ain't put it out there, but that's what I called it. Oh, you went there to stunt.
Why?
Because when he made the top 5%,
uh-huh.
you know what I'm saying, you know, he was the only in his class, like there's three sections. In his section, he was the first one out of his section to get on that particular list.
Okay.
So he cooked everybody some cookies.
To celebrate his win.
He ain't tell him that, but that's what it was. Like,
what'd he tell him? What'd he say the cookies
he's like,
for?
He just brought everybody cookies.
I just feel good.
He just feeling good, but he went to celebrate. You know what I'm saying?
Because I'm winning.
His dominance of the...
Hilarious.
You know what I'm So I'm like, shit, why don't you sell them?
How good were the cookies?
They good.
They were sellable?
He sold them.
Really?
He went back.
What kind of cookies?
There was some, what they call them shit? Snickerdoodles. I don't call them Snickerdoodles, but he has Snickerdoodles. And you know, two of the cats in the class was like, yo, can I buy some of these? All right. And then I'm like, that's what your business need to be.
Yeah.
So he came back, chefed up a batch, you know what I'm saying, invested in the eggs and flour.
Okay.
He chefed up
hustling.
A batch, went and sold 2 dozen of them, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, I asked him today, I was like, what's up with your cookie business? Mm-hmm. He's like, well, you know, I have to create the demand. I can't just oversaturate the market.
Mm-hmm.
I had to let them wait.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Gotta get them thirsty.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, you know, let you do what you do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, not bother you.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? You got it together.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? My other son, he trying to start his t-shirt line.
Uh-huh.
So we just put his orders in today on that. So we'll see how that go.
How the t-shirts look?
I mean, you know, to me, it was just a basic thing, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I go back and forth with him on it, you know what I'm saying? But then I understand he's young and I don't want to, you know what I'm saying, step on his toes about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know what I'm saying, his line, he calling it Finesse Fam, you know what I'm saying? Which, you know, for me as a parent, you know what I'm saying, kind of got, you know, a couple of different connotations to
it. Right.
So, you know what I'm saying, you don't want to get caught up in the wrong connotation.
Right.
But, you know. You gotta let them express it. So we put them on there. You got the money hungry shirts, Finesse Fams.
All right, we'll see what happens. See, that's my son.
I got his back.
You know, shit is cracking. That's my son.
I got his back. You know what I'm saying? Because I want them to learn that shit now, because when they get out in the world, they always know that they could make their own money.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And that making money and living a life is not handcuffed to having a job.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I want them to understand that. So when maybe they doing something where it might not be a job for them, or the job that they have ain't taking them where they want to go,
yeah,
they'll know that they can make their own way. You know what I'm saying? And not just by looking at me, by actually doing it themselves.
They've got experience.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm definitely full-fledged behind that. You know what I mean?
Nah, that's what's up.
So that's what.
You bought some cookies?
I bought the damn mix.
I thought he invested in the mix.
I invested in the mix.
I bought the mix. I thought he bought the mix.
No, I bought the eggs. I bought the flour.
Oh, okay.
At least.
So you gave him the seed.
Yeah,
the seed money.
Give me a motherfucking cookie.
All right. That's what's up.
Nah, I invested in him, so you know, we'll see what he do. He good with his money, so he got the money. He ready to invest in it himself now.
That's what's up. That's
so you know,
dope.
I'm on that. Proud of that. What's going on with you,
man? What's going on with me? Just working, man. Just got a few things cooking. You know, we got Comedy KO premieres. It's now April 17th. I think that's a Sunday. That's when it comes on, I think, 10:30, True TV. So
that's
please.
Big. That's big.
I'm excited
shit.
About that. Yeah, I'm excited about that. We're going to start our promo now. You're going to start seeing a lot more of that coming up. I'm going to be on the road a bit. I got some road work coming up. I got Scottsdale. I'm at Stand Up Scottsdale at the end of this month, the 31st. Through the 2nd of April. I definitely got the information up all over. I'm going to Arlington Improv. I'm going to Philly. Philly has been giving comics a hard time recently.
Oh, man. Comics been catching bad ones
in Philly.
You
know what I mean? And Cat Williams caught the wrong side of a Timberland boot. Donnell got into a situation.
Actually, Larry got
caught a little dust up.
He got one of them joints where you get hit and your feet be in the air.
Yeah,
like all the
way. It was a hell of a moment. Philly, I need that brotherly love though.
No, man,
I need y'all to get it right. I'm gonna be out there at Philadelphia Helium coming up soon. I'm gonna be in Denver Improv, man. I'm just out here moving, man, working. Got some stuff coming, you know. Got some stuff coming. Some real, you know. I'm excited. I'm just trying to. Not even trying to. I'm just living life. I'm enjoying having fun. Right. Looking to have some fun shit. Like looking to whatever. Tell me what y'all do for fun. It don't even have anything. It don't have to be anything that's super. It could be something very basic, all the way to what was the like? What was the last fun thing you did?
Oh, man, shit. I was hanging out with my son Saturday. That was fun. We went to the...
Black Fathers.
No, the public school championship, the city championship between Jefferson and Lincoln.
Okay.
And watched that joint. But then after that, we just hung out in the city.
Right.
And I hadn't hung out with my oldest son in the city in a while. You know what I'm saying? We used to do that all the time. Just hung out in the city, went to different shops and shit.
Right.
Went to some shops he wanted to see.
Uh-huh.
Went and looked for these frames.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? He actually picked these, the smart ones.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
He liked these joints. And then then we went to eat, went to the restaurant. You know what I'm saying? You know how you go to the official restaurant? You know how city restaurants are a little different
right.
than the shit you really do with your family?
Right.
You know, like family restaurant, you know, you go, you know what I'm saying? It's family restaurant.
It's family.
But city restaurant, it got a whole little thing to
it's
it.
It's a scene.
It's a scene, you know what I'm saying? It's people doing the most.
Where'd you go? You want to say or you want to keep it low?
Nah, you keep it. It's a Soho spot.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
All right. Keep it low.
A little Soho spot, you know what I'm saying? We set out.
Mind your business.
Set out on the sidewalk, you know what I'm saying? And people watched it, you know what I mean? So it was just funny seeing him in a real environment, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like with real things going on around him.
Right.
And his response to him as a 15-year-old. And it was funny. It was a group of white girls coming down the block. With they had a little dog with them.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know how you just catch one little part of a conversation?
Right.
And then the girl was like, you know, and such and such and such and such, but it wasn't as on fleek as this one.
Oh,
and he was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I was like, so, you know, just to watch him and, you know what I mean, just growing as a man, you know what I'm saying? That's fun for me, you know, right now. That was fun shit, just hanging out doing that shit. You know, I'm, you know.
That's cool.
It's, you know, it's more a little more simpler.
Nah, it's fun though. If it's fun, it's fun.
You know what I'm saying? So I, you know, have fun doing that shit.
That's cool.
What was the last fun shit you did?
I went, me and my lady, we went to see Whoopi Goldberg at the King's Theater out in Brooklyn this last weekend.
How was
it? It was fun. It was a good time, man. It was good. It was fun for a number of reasons. One, you know, my lady hurt her ankle, so she had to have surgery, so she was laid up for damn near a month. Mm-hmm. Damn near, like, you know, on house arrest. You know what I'm saying? So it was good to just be back out in the world, you know what I mean? Back out in the scene. Mm-hmm. Plus, we both fuck with Whoopi real tough. And it was good to see Whoopi live, you know what I mean? Doing stand-up. And y'all know Whoopi from doing, like, the one-woman show thing, so I never really see her do stand-up. And I fuck with her, you know what I mean? And she was good. She did her thing. You know what I'm saying? She came out, you know, she handled business. Whoopi's very familiar. Like, she got that, like, aunt energy.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, like, I like her approach to it. She's just her.
Right.
You know, which is, for me, I feel like that's one of the ultimate goals as a comedian is just to be your, like, the goal is to always just be yourself. Right. As you are off stage, as on stage. Obviously, there's a bit of an act to it. But, just to be able to be as true to how you feel and your point of view is just crystal clear. Right. You know, people kind of get your shit. You know what I mean? Like, I can't, it's like mother wit with her. Right. You know what I'm saying? You know, and it was cool. It was cool to see her.
What the audience look like? What was the audience like?
Uh-oh, she brought the old heads out. It was pretty diverse. It was a lot of, you know, over 30 at least, mm-hmm. you know, nearing up to about 70, you know, like, and her audience is people that fuck with her all in. Like, they've been fucking with her for a long time. They bring her back. Like, they try to, somebody was like, yo, you miss Judy's in San Diego? Like, ha ha. Yeah, I used to wash dishes out at Judy's in San Diego. You know, so these motherfuckers, they from the prologue era. You know what I mean? They, you know, and they well invested. There's a lot of motherfuckers, because it was like a Q&A portion at the end of it where people came up to the mic and they, you know, to proclaim they love and ask the question, and some motherfucker might get emotional and start crying and shit, right. And, you know, all of that shit. Little kid in there. Like, it ranged. It was deep. We left during this because the shit got little ridiculous and we had to beat that traffic.
How much was the ticket?
It wasn't too bad. You know what I mean? It wasn't too bad. It was decent. You know, it was respectable. She, you know,
Whoopi out here getting money.
Whoopi ain't missing no bags. Whoopi's not missing no bags. She is chilling. It was a good time, man. We had a good ass time. They do some good cashews out there, like these like a fucking toffee cashew situation. Mm-hmm. Like, at the King's Theater, shit is banging, man. But other than that, you know, it was a fun time.
That's what's up.
Where could the people find you this week, man?
This week, hey, man, I might be in the A. I'll find out tonight. You know what I'm saying? I might be in the A for the Organized Noise documentary screening.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Orlando and, you know, QD3 and the whole gang.
Official.
You know what I'm saying? So I might be out there for that real quick. And then
that hits Netflix on Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
So go out there for that, then jump right back out here. Then I'll be on the Snap. We'll be shooting the last two episodes of 306 Late with L. Clay.
Okay.
So we're shooting those actually tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I'm saying? Those will be done and then ready for the launch. Mm-hmm. Once the Thorough TV launches, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Thorough TV is the new site, you know what I'm saying? Where, you know, we just Total Video Network getting busy.
Oh, shit.
You know what I mean?
There you go. Well, shit, man. I'm going to be at the good old, where I'm going to be at this week, man? I got a few spots, actually. Where am I at this week? I'll be at the Stand tonight. Good 8:30 at the Stand. Then I'm at Stand Up New York this Friday. I'm on the 8 o'clock show and the 10 o'clock show. And then I'm at the Comedy Cellar on a good Monday. Also at Stand Up New York on Monday at the 10 o'clock show. And the 8 o'clock show and the 11:30 show at the Cellar. So I'm out here, man. I'm fucking moving around.
Trying to get it.
Yeah, man.
D-Lemon ain't missing no bags.
Nah, I'm trying to get everything that's due to the kid. You know what I mean? But, shit. Most immediately, if you in that Scottsdale area, that Arlington area, that Philly area, that Denver area, go pick up them tickets now, because I want that shit to be a movie when I touch down. I want to have a great fucking time. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
Get in the conversation.
And your enemies, too.
Oh, I forgot about them enemies. Ain't nobody think about them enemies.
Nah, tell them, too.
It's like the DJ Khaled them.
The they?
They.
Yeah.
They.
Tell they. Tell who. They. Tell we. Tell she. Tell he. To get
in the conversation.
We out.
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.